just to say this, that Kenny said pray, and so Joanna and I did. And you know what? I fished up there so many times up by Ashland that I knew that if the smelts are running, people are real generous. You know what I mean? And I went to college at Northland for a couple of years. And we would walk down with a five-gallon bucket, and somebody would fill it up for us, you know. We did that a number of times. But anyway, something has begun to happen. I'm really happy to see Jeff and Allison here this morning. I wasn't expecting them to come so soon. We went over and prayed for their house the other day for deliverance. And this is we've done this over the years quite a few times in different places, and we've seen some real, you know, real effects. It'd be nice if we could see the spirits, but you can't. All you can do is go by what the Word of God says. Anyway, I also feel really good about both of them. I was talking to Jeff about listening to the scriptures, and it registered, and it doesn't register with a lot of people. It just doesn't register. As a matter of fact, you can see all the pews. These have been full at times. And we had a lot of people until we started listening to the scriptures. And we, you know, most of us here have been listening day and night for, well, Joanne and I, especially for the last 15, 16, 17 years. We kind of laugh about it because we lost track of how many years. But but it has an unbelievable impact on people. And I'm going to quote a scripture, and what you're familiar with. And what I'd like to do is have somebody with a different translation than the King James re-quote this for me. And it's Psalms, the first Psalms. And it says, "Blessed is the man." And if there's a blessing, God is the one that gives the blessing. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful." Blessed is this man. But that's not really the whole impact or the emphasis of that blessing. And here's what it says. The next line, that's verse 2. And it says, "And whose delight is in the Word of God. And on that word does he meditate day and night." Who gives the blessing? Where does the blessing come from? Do you have a King James? Or?
We have International.
Okay.
Verse 2?
Verse 1. Blessed is the man that does what?
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked.
Okay. Okay, so here's the blessing. Well, anyway, I got one of the most unbelievable things the other day. That was just before we went over to see you guys. And it's out of the 8th and the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Okay, God blesses. God gives a blessing. What is it? Well, let me read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, the first place, okay? "For this is the covenant that God says that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people." What is happening to you and me? What's happening to me? God's laws and word is beginning to be written in my mind and in my heart. And I told Joanne, I said, something different is happening. I have seen the presence of God. I've seen the power of God. I've seen a lot of things happen over the years. But I'm not familiar with what is happening at this moment. This is new. Because the Word of God is becoming something that it never has been before. Okay, so now let me read the rest of that. This is a covenant will I make with the house of Israel. And then, okay, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all of these shall know me from the least to the greatest. What do you mean you don't teach them these things? Then how do you find out? I was getting desperate, and everybody here, I think I even shared this with Jeff, I'm not sure, but I was getting to the point, and I felt like if I die, I'm going to go to hell. This is, you know, right at the turn of the century. And I was desperate and destitute, and anyway, the only time it's ever happened, I heard a voice, and the voice said, if you're serious, and if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Well, that's kind of a nebulous kind of, you know, what do you do with a statement like that? And but at the same time, I was also brought to the realization that the only place I can find God is right here. If I want to find God, God said, that voice said, if you got to look for me where I am. Which didn't make a lot of sense in the natural, except that something inside of me said, I've been looking for him in this doctrine, in this church doctrine, in that this church doctrine, in this church doctrine, in their creeds and in the things they believe. But the only place I've never really bothered to look is right here. And so I was made to understand what I got to do in my old age. I'm getting old, you know. And this was 15 years ago, so you know how old I do it. You know, now I'm that much older. And as we started to listen, it was difficult at first. I wasn't used to that. But after a while, it became enjoyable. And see, that's what it says in Psalms. Whose delight is in the Word of God. Until he delights. Well, you know what? I delight in it. I love it. That's the only thing I'm really interested in listening to. But let me read the rest of Hebrews verse 8 here. They shall not teach him. I read that one in verse 11. They shall not teach every man his neighbor. They don't have to. If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. So as we listened to the Word of God, we began to get an understanding of the makeup and who God is. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. That's why the old covenant is fine. It's wonderful. But that is not where we're at. We're in the new dispensation, the new covenant. Now let me read the same thing. I mean, this is in chapter 10, verse 16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, this sounds like it's just the opposite. The first one, it was written in the hearts. Here it's written in the minds. But it doesn't matter. What's the difference? And so, we wonder, what is happening as a result of the constant intake of God's Word? God's Word gets written in the mind and in the heart. It's getting written inside. That's why you do it. And then you know what it says? And God says, and then I will be their God, and they will be my people. See, this here is all of God's word that is necessary for us to know. That's all. It's not that there isn't more. God is, I mean, his ways are past finding out. God's beyond our understanding. But God has made sure. See, this is the thing. If we don't believe the whole thing, we don't believe any of it. You believe the whole thing. It's not that you don't believe the Old Testament. We don't need the Old Testament. But it's good to use. It's good to refer to. And it's what it is. It's proof of the new. And so anyway, my throat's starting to clog up on me. Oh, one more thing. You know how it says in Hebrews 2 about what is man that thou art mindful of him? Guess what? In Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, guess what it says? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you did visit him? Isn't that strange? Does God kind of know the past, the future, and everything all at once? Could he prophesy something that many years ago that would be repeated in Hebrews? I'll rest my voice.
We've been spending the last couple of weeks kind of bouncing around some thoughts, and it led me to play Open the Eyes of Our Hearts this morning, because as we're seeking God's truth and trying to understand what He has for us, it's clear that if we don't open our hearts to what He's trying to show us, we're never going to get to where we need to be. And I felt it was important to reflect on that a little bit, because as we've come to know, we're not going to reason our way on the right path. And it's not going to be because of how intelligent we are or aren't. But it's going to be because we have an openness and a heart for God, so that He can show us and teach us and let us see what He has for us. You know, over the years it's occurred to me that revelation or anointing or insight seems to come upon us when we're seeking, not when we're standing on what we know, but when we're actually seeking Him out earnestly with our heart. So it can't be emphasized enough how important it is to approach finding out what we need to be with an open heart. And that's constantly come to me over the years. I have found that the more I try and become humble, the more God seems to meet me. And the more that I'm open to being shown what I need to know, the more He shows me. And then He reinforces that with scriptures. It's interesting how, you know, you get a concept, or you think you have something, and then you seek it out, and you find it, and then God reinforces it to you in such a way, because with an open heart, to stand on another common cliche, With an open heart, you have ears that can hear. And with an open heart, you have eyes that can see. And the two have to go together. Without it, you just end up sitting there trying to figure out the riddle that God says is beyond you. And what a waste of time. You know, let Him be the leader. Be open to what He has to show you. And let Him grow within you. Open the eyes of your heart.
Amen. One of those scriptures that Keith brought in Hebrews or something. That notion of having them written on our heart or put in our mind or whatever, I would, the Holy Spirit knows better than I do, but let me put in my 2 cents, which are possibly not worth 2 cents, but anyway. I'd like to throw the stomach in there too. You know? He's written it in our mind, our heart, and something goes on in our digestive system too. You know?
That's good.
You know? Yeah. With hearing it, you hear it, you know, it's going on in our bedroom, and it's going on pretty loud in that bedroom of ours. It doesn't interfere with the sleep. You know, it's we have no trouble sleeping. You wake up and you hear the Bible, and you know, it's good to hear the Bible, and then you go back to sleep. You know? But that whole process is, it bypasses the brain, you know, and a lot of it is bypassing the brain. And, you know, the Bible talks about the manna. Well, that involves the digestive system. You put it in your belly. And something, I swear something like that is going on with the Bible. It's written in our hearts, planted, you know, whatever goes on in the mind, and fills up the digestive system too. And isn't that like the Lord in some kind of way? You know, not many wise, not many prudent, not many. You know. He's revealed these things to babes, and, you know, the grown-ups have better ideas. How totally foolish to be eating this stuff. That's foolishness. But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And I, for one, like it. I like it.
A scripture setting when I was up here before, and then I lost it, but there's something that the Bible says a number of places, and I just saw it in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and it says, "And you will not have need that any man teach you." And this has been a puzzler, because we have been so convinced of the teaching ministry that we haven't realized, you know, it's like that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit any place, because we need teachers. Don't we need teachers? I mean, we had teachers in the church in the beginning. You know what I mean? There were teachers. But there's a thing that is found here that is vital. Okay? If you are listening to God's Word day and night, what advantage is a teacher? What advantage is it to have a teacher? Because God will teach you. See, the thing about it, God has provided his own teacher anyway. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. He teaches. He's a teacher. And what has happened through the teaching ministries, see this scripture setting that is up on the wall behind me? The reason that that is on the wall is because it's almost identical, exactly the same in every single translation. Some translations will change things a little bit. All translations that we can find anywhere says almost exactly that. And so the Bible is not in disagreement. There are some translations that will kind of change things, maybe to flavor a doctrine or something, but the Bible is the same. And what has happened to me is that I have lost my thing inside of me that says this is the only translation, the King James. I don't have that anymore because I realize that the major issues, like this one, and there's a lot of other ones that are like that, the major issues are the same in all translations. And I know why. That's not even a mystery to me anymore. Because it's not because men have kept it so. It's because there is a God, unseen God, that is over his word. He has kept his word intact. It is so that whoever reads it in any translation is going to get the same thing if their heart is open and they're open to receive what God has. And so, addict, that's what I was trying to think. I'm not a King James addict. I'm not an addict of any translation because you're going to find the truth in the translation you have if you're open, if you want to hear it. So you don't have need of any man teach you to know the Lord. Because, see, the voice I heard said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And then I was made to know. The only possible place that we're ever going to find God is in what he said. It's not going to be in what I said about him. It's not going to be about what anybody else said. The only place you're going to find him is in what he said. And the Bible says this is, you know, we call this the Word of God. Is it? You know, do we realize why this is God's Word? We're told in the first chapter of Hebrews, it says, in the days past, in the former times, that God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. And in these last days, it says, God has spoken to us by his Son. And so, it is, we have, whatever we have here, this is God's Word, because God is the one that was behind whatever was said. And so, when it says through David back in the, you know, in the book of Psalms, that, what is man that thou art mindful of? I mean, God is speaking through David to prophesy. And so that's how we come up with this. And amen. If I could keep thinking while I'm standing up.
I don't have a testimony, but I did want to say this is Allison and Jeff here. Be sure and speak to them here at the after the service is over, we, Corky and Keith and Joanne and I, went over and prayed at their house. There were funny bumps in the night, you know. And they report things are better, so, which is real good. Maybe it would be good to go pray again. Here sounds like maybe. But it was good, and it's good to it's good to see them. I like both of them. Actually, the little girl is it's Olivia, and then the baby is Balin. Balin is not a boy, it's a girl. You can tell by the ribbon. But anyway, it's good to have you here, and be sure and speak to them. Introduce yourself.
I didn't have anything for sure I was going to read out here, but I thought, I got to go up with this, just in case. But I give another little report. I mentioned to you that I'd ridden with this guy, and then they invited me to eat with them after, which I did. So yesterday, there was nobody posted a group ride for, you know, which I thought there would be. So we had been talking, and so we decided Joel and I, that's the guy, would go for a ride of our own. We wanted to get a long one in, so we were gone about 3.5-4 hours. But so then he mentioned, well, you know, we thawed out some steaks. You might as well stick around. Who wants to pass up a New York strip, you know? So I stayed, and it's funny because Sandy, his wife, she has lots of questions, and I don't have to bring anything up because she'll start asking, and just little things, or start a conversation about, you know, the things of the Lord. And so I found I was sharing a little, and, you know, like, well, how many people? And I said, oh, there's only about 20, 25, I said, you know. I said, it's been larger, you know. And then I shared a little history that, you know, we've had pretty incredible things happen here, but, you know, we also learned from mistakes that we made and stuff. And then I at the end I got to it and I said, you know, and for what we have going on there, I wouldn't give it up for anything, you know. And it isn't that this is the church. It's the things that these people that I know in this church are receiving as I am that's just like nothing that we've ever had before, and there's not a big hoopla, you know. But it's funny when you discover what truth is, that there is a truth and that you can seek it, and God will be faithful. He doesn't give it to you all at once, but I just was dwelling some more as I was listening, and that whole principle, and I just read some scriptures about it. You cannot receive the kingdom of God unless you are converted and become as a little child. And see that, and you're going to relate to this because you have two little ones. They will soak up everything that you say. They will look at you like you are the ultimate, you know, and everything is going to come from you. Well, if you get that as a grown-up in your heart for your father, he'll do the same thing. And he'll just give. And what's so amazing about, you know, and I just read this morning, too, and talking about teachers. And Jesus said, you only have one teacher, the Christ. And you have one Father, God the Father. And that seems to contradict some other scriptures in Ephesians and stuff, but and obviously, you know, Paul and all the apostles and the different ones that wrote the Gospels and everything, it had to be presented, it had to start somewhere that it was being presented. But God was directing every word that they wrote or spoke. And so now, if we're hearing from the Holy Spirit, it's like, I don't need to get you to listen to me because I want you to believe what I believe. I want you to believe what the Word of God says. And I want you to go there for yourself and hear it. And the fact that I don't have to stop and think I have to be here to hear this guy or there to hear there or be to this Bible study and da-da-da, it's so simple. I mean, it's made it so much easier to just receive because I trust. And we've been doing this long enough now that I know that the Holy Spirit will teach. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do not want it going through my brain. You know? And that is a hard concept because man has always thought he knows what he knows is best. You know? And you know, intelligence, there's nothing wrong with it. It's needed for the natural world, you know. But if you get dependent on it, you're just in trouble. And, you know, it's funny, the devil, see, there's truth from God and then there's the devil. Now, the devil at one time had truth. And he was in such a high position that for some reason in him was a wrong seed. And then he started thinking himself equal to God and maybe even as good or better than God. And then God said, well, now that's the end of you. You're not going to have truth anymore. You're going to live in darkness. And so he became the liar of liars, you know. And so everything that he presents is because he's in darkness. And now he has learned, because he's very intelligent, to try to figure out, you know, he watches when things happen to people and he learns how to manipulate people because he sees how they react to things. And that's what he works on. You know, I was thinking this morning about guys that are in the service and stuff, and I was there and a situation that I had, and I don't know, I was just sitting there this morning thinking, maybe I got to talk to the Lord about that, because maybe I should present myself somewhere to some veterans. But because of warfare, the devil really can go to town. I mean, all these guys that are suffering like they are, a lot of it, I'll say, and I really believe, is because the devil got in there and started working on him. Because what happened to me was, I was in Vietnam and I come back, and I was back for years, and we had the opportunity to go out east and visit memorials and stuff working for somebody. And so I told Pam, I want to go see the wall, you know, that has all the guys that had given their lives in Vietnam. And so we were on a bus going, and there's a woman that's leading us, and she started saying some things like, yeah, it was a bad war, and when guys come back, they didn't get treated well. And all of a sudden, which I'd never done before, I don't think, shouldn't be doing this now, but I just started weeping. And I couldn't control it, you know. And finally, the bus is coming, and I'm trying to keep. You know, we're kind of in the back, and I just said, we got to get out. I got to get away from everybody a little bit and see why is this happening, you know. And so we did, and I got collected enough that I went to the wall and saw it. And I was thinking about this morning. The good thing was that I knew I had a God, and I knew if I asked Him, He would tell me why I had that reaction. And so I prayed after we got back, and the answer I got was spirit of rejection, which is very common, especially for that particular era. And I got set free from that. And I just, and it just told me that so many of these guys, I know that the Prince of Darkness is working on them, you know, and they don't have to stay that way, you know. I didn't have to, but you got to know the one to go to ask, and that's our Heavenly Father. So, and by listening to this word, which all came later, I mean, I tell people I've had things lifted from me, cleansed in me since I started listening to this word that no man, preacher, pastor, anybody ever did for me until now. You know, because God has a way, if you listen to His word and you want to hear truth, has a way of softly, gently convicting you of things that'll set you free if you'll give them over. But He does it in His time, and He does it with each individual in their time. And it's a wonderful thing. It's just and I'd been reading a little bit in Revelations for a while, and then I was going through, I was looking for something, and I won't say what because it's not really that necessary, but I was going through the Gospels looking for this certain presentation that had been made by Jesus and stuff. And I go through the first three Gospels, and you know, they all have it. And you know what's amazing? Then you get to John. Have you ever stopped and thought about how different the book of John is than all the rest? None of them go through what he does from about chapter 14 on about the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's amazing. Now, why? I don't know. For one, you know, I've come to realize John had a very tender heart. And he had a very open heart to the Lord. And I mean, Peter did too. And I always kind of stuck up for Peter because I always thought he was getting a bum rap, but a little bit, you know. But I know who Peter is because there's a whole lot of me, him together, you know, that just, you know, and not think and just bust forward and then get caught saying stupid things like, "Oh, wash all of me, Lord," you know. No, Peter, you're already clean. You don't have to overdo this thing, you know, to impress me, you know. But John is just, you know, and I always thought, well, sure, John's saying the disciple whom Jesus loved, and it's because he's writing it. But John knew he was loved. And I think Peter, obviously when the Lord kept asking him, he says, "Lord, you know that I love you," you know. So Peter, they all loved him, you know, but John, I mean, that was a conviction in him that was strong. He knew the Lord loved him. And he's the one that, you know, helped bring the revelation thing, you know, the visions and stuff. And so I thought, for whatever reason, it's there. And it is so crucial. I mean, if you go and concentrate and just concentrate on the whole book of John for a while and just listen to it and read it and listen and read and don't try to think it. Don't try to learn it. Let God just show you and ask Him to show you, you know, as a little child to teach you. And you'll be amazed. I mean, stuff will start coming out of there that you just, I mean, that most of the church world does not see yet today. That doesn't mean a lot won't, you know. And now I'm feeling like I want to go. I want to be around Joel and Sandy as much as I can. And I'm actually feel like I might ask them to come over some night and just share what I think I see from the Word, and see if they're open to that. Because I think she would be, and I think he would too. He just doesn't say a lot. He's kind of one of them guys that's, like I said before, he's pretty analytical, and I think he has to just keep, you know, soaking it in before he wants to make any statements. So God bless him, and God bless you, and you knew that I haven't met yet, but yeah, God is good, and he's, you know, the amazing thing that's come out of this too is that can bring you peace. God is in charge of absolutely everything that goes on. And if you can get that truth, you'll just be at rest. You'll just be at rest a lot more than you've ever been, knowing that He has it in control. Now, you may not like what you see necessarily because you don't see everything, you know. But if you can realize that whatever happens, it's because God knows He has an end that is good for those that seek Him.
God is good all the time. All the time God is good. As Ken was talking, it, you know, kind of got me thinking a little bit. One of the verses that we talk about, 1 Corinthians 13:3, and I'll just read from King James. "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Other translations have that. The greatest of these is love. You know, and those of you who know me, I have been saying for a long time that there was three Gospels, and then there was John. And what I always meant by that was, if you just read or just listen, you know, the first three Gospels are kind of like talking about a story, and there's a beginning, and there's an end, and there's, you know, stopped here on along the way, and this is what happened, and it rained on Tuesday, and it just sort of made sense on a natural level. And then you got to John, and trying to understand John with just the brain doesn't go very well. At least it didn't for me. But the more I kept listening, the more John made sense, and the more you know, and the more your heart is right with God, the more John makes sense. But the reason I got back up was John had a special relationship with the Lord, and that relationship was created or was possible because of the love that John had for the Lord. And it was because of that love John was able to get greater understandings, and other things happened. He got to see other things and get better understandings. And I think it would be remiss not to dwell on that for a second and say, okay, to reinforce what's been brought. It wasn't because I went through this 15 times, or it wasn't because I heard 15 Bible studies, or it wasn't because I did these things. But it was because I went with an open heart, and because I have a love for what God can show me. That's when I can really, really start to make gains, if you want to call it that. And using the analogy of children, your children just love you. And as they continue to love you, they continue to be open to what you have. And if we put ourselves in that position towards our Father, what is He going to do? One of the other scripture settings that I've often thought about is, and it's really good to parents, you know, if you would do this for your child, how much more will the Father do for you?
Amen.
And you put that in context of your salvation, and you go, you know, you almost step back and you go, I can't get to that. That's almost too big to get your head around. And the good thing is, you don't have to get your head around it. You just have to know in your heart it's truth. You know, so don't get too wrapped up in the actuals. Just dwell in the abilities, the capabilities of what can happen through love.
Okay, but I hang on to something better. There's a scripture in the first scripture in the book of Mark where Jesus spoke. You know, this is recorded by Mark. He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and believed the gospel. And for 17 years in this church, we have been on the simple side of things. And we have been talking about one thing, which has bothered some people. We had some people that have left because of it. And the thing that we have been saying is, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of God. And so we've been saying that for a long, long, long time. Hear the word of the Lord. Well, anyway, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 37, there was a situation, and God showed Ezekiel a vision, and he saw the church. And I'd like to say he saw today's church. He saw a divided church structure, and God showed him the church. It was dry and a mess, and he said, he asked Ezekiel, he said, can this church live? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And you know what? That's where I am. It's like, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. I don't know. Lord, you know. But here's what God told Ezekiel. He said, prophesy to these bones. And here's what the message was. And this is what has been happening here for 15, 17 years. Hear, if you want the bones to live, tell them to hear the word of the Lord. Not hear the doctrines of the churches. Hear the word of the Lord. As soon as we made that transfer and we went over to the word of God, it has transformed this church. So what we have left, here's the word of the Lord. And it's like, was it Ken that said it a little earlier? Or Charlie? I would much rather have what we have now than anything that I have ever been a part of. I would much rather. And of course, I'm 80 years old, and so I got a little bit of a background, and I've been churchified for 60 years. So, and the other 20 weren't necessarily evil or bad, you know, but in the 60 years, I have seen just about the full gamut. I've seen everything there is, almost. But I have never yet, and Joanne and I were just talking about it, I have never, in Candy, my daughter, I have never, ever been in the place where the Word of God was having the impact that it is on us. I've never been here before. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation, and here's what it says. I had a dream that caused me to come back from Seattle. And in the dream, at the end of this dream, there were a people that were gathered out in a field, and there was the trumpet sounded, and I watched these people become like a one mass of clouds, and they were lifted up off the earth, okay? Never thought a lot about it until I saw in the book of Revelation where it talks about the the Philadelphia church. And it says, and here's a promise that Jesus made to this church. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience, because you have kept my word, that's the only church of the seven churches that had kept God's word. We haven't kept it. But we're starting to want to keep it. Because you have kept my word, I will keep you from this hour that is coming upon the world to try the whole world. And so anyway, I begin to see something. I don't know if everybody understands what I'm saying, but you can think about it. But anyway, why don't we, let's come up to the front and...